The people that Jesus spoke those words to had a lot of trouble understanding what they meant. They were angry at Jesus for saying those things because they did not understand. And I want to give you a perspective on the God that we worship. The God that we worship is wonderfully described by the writer Annie Dillard. This is about the power of God. She says, "Does anyone have the foggiest idea of what sort of power that we Christians so blithely invoke? People in churches are like children playing on the floor with chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT. It's madness for ladies to wear velvet hats in church. We should be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should be giving us life preservers and signal flares. Ushers should be lashing us to our pews. The sleeping God may someday awake and take offense. Or the waking God may draw us out to a place from which we can never return." This is the God we worship. A God of infinite power, but also infinite grace. A God of infinite love and forgiveness who wants to be close to us. These words may sound familiar. I'll tell you why later, but these could be the words that God is speaking to us every day. Come, let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me always be with you. Those are the words that God is saying, if we could only hear them. So the question that Jesus was asking these people, and what got them so agitated, he was asking them, "Do you want to eat the bread of the desert, manna? Or do you want to eat the bread of eternal life?" Now, he was asking serious questions, but Jesus used really disturbing words. So, "Dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning that my words may lift up this your beloved worshiping community, that they may hear and see and feel the depth and the wonder and the great grace of your love that you offer us every day. Amen." So were you noticing what Jesus actually said to these people? I mean, okay, let me be clear. It's disturbing. 7 times Jesus says that we are to eat him. 4 times Jesus says we are to drink his blood. Not only are these words disturbing, they are offensive. And in the original Greek, up to verse 54, when Jesus is saying, "eat, eat, eat," in the original Greek, there's the very polite word, phagein. "I'd like you to politely eat my body." Phagein. But afterward, verse 54, Jesus changes it around, and he uses the Greek word trogon. And the Greek word trogon is Jesus telling the people to eat his body, chewing with their mouths open, smacking their lips, kind of like a child coming home from elementary school who grabs a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and just dives into that sandwich and chews and eats and smacks his lips and everything's a mess. And that's what Jesus is telling the listeners to do. These are not polite words. Now, you may want to be saying, "Yuck," but the words that Jesus is telling us this morning about eating his flesh, drinking his blood, this is not about cannibalism. He's using these words because he wants to get the people to pay attention. One thing Jesus is doing is pointing ahead towards the cross, when his flesh will be broken, when his blood will be spilled, so we may be redeemed. Come, let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me always be with you. Jesus is inviting us again and again with these words to come and eat at his table. You see, the bread of life that Jesus is talking about is the bread that God is serving at God's table. This structure that we have up here is not an altar. It's a table. It's a communion table. It's the table that God wants us to come at as a beloved worshiping community and partake in this sacrament. But you see, the sacrament that we are partaking in is the bread of life. Now, Jesus did say that, but we are also gathering into ourselves the whole self of God. When Jesus says, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood," what he's really saying is he wants to give all of himself to us. That same God that Annie Dillard talks about we should put crash helmets on and be lashed to the pews, that same God is saying that he wants to give all of himself to us in the meal at the table of his Father in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Now, I want to explain that these words, "eat my flesh, drink my blood," that's actually a Hebrew idiom. People back then may not be as shocked as we are now. We say today, "Oh, I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse." And maybe in 2,000 years, somebody will listen to those words somewhere written down and think, "Those people were gross. They were eating horses. Ugh." So Jesus was using a Hebrew idiom. But the people at the time might have understood what the idiom really meant. It refers to the whole person. You see, Jesus is referring to heart, mind, soul, feelings, hopes, dreams, everything in that person. And that is what Jesus wants to share with us. Reverend David Luce puts it much better than I can. His words, "In Jesus, the whole of God comes for our whole selves to love and redeem and sustain all of who we are, our good, our bad, and our messy." So 4 Sundays in the summertime, every 3 years, the lectionary goes into the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. And for 4 Sundays, we get Jesus repeating in various forms, "I am the bread of life." You see, every 3 years, the lectionary wants us to remember that Jesus is giving all of himself to us. But there's something odd about the Gospel of John. There is no Last Supper meal in the Gospel of John. Now, in the other 3 Gospels, Jesus breaks bread, has a cup of wine. But in the Gospel of John, at the Last Supper, there is no meal, but it's the only gospel where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. You see, the Gospel of John is showing us Jesus as being a true servant. And what better way to be a true servant than to wash the feet of his disciples? Now, if you're wondering, "Oh, wait a minute, if the Gospel of John doesn't have communion in it," but it does. It does in a different form. You see, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, that in the Gospel of John is Jesus' version of communion. That in the Gospel of John is Jesus' version of giving himself as sustenance to those people. So the Gospel of John takes Jesus, the bread of life, and it puts Jesus' communion into the midst of his ministry, not waiting till the end of his ministry. It's an interesting take on the different gospels and how they tell the story of Jesus. But 2 Sundays ago, in the lectionary, in the Gospel of John, verse 6, chapter 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then last Sunday in chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus said, "I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread I give for the life of the world, that bread is my flesh." So Jesus is foretelling his crucifixion. And next Sunday, in the lectionary reading, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 56 to 58, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will abide in me, and I in them. Now, in the Greek, the word abide means to live. And so what Jesus is really saying is, whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, will live in me, and I will live in them. Come, let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me always be with you. Do you see the amazingness of the sacrament of communion? Now, I understand that these days, because of COVID, you look at this, and it's hard to imagine that this is the bread of life, bread of eternal life, the sacrifice that Jesus gave to us. So I'm going to ask you to please, whenever we celebrate communion with these, please use your imaginations. Use your imaginations. A church that I served several years ago outside of Cambridge, one of the members of the church baked bread every Sunday before the service. And the church hall was separate from the church. I had three churches, and this was my middle church. And I pulled up one Sunday, and three of the church ladies were bringing the fresh-baked bread and elements into the sanctuary. And as I pulled up, the sun had broken through the clouds, and there was a shaft of sunlight on these three ladies as they were walking into the sanctuary with the bread and the elements. Oh, my gosh. That reminded me of the bread of life. This, you're going to have to use your imaginations. Okay. Do you remember that phrase, you are what you eat? Now, you may think that came from the 90s or the 70s or the 80s. Actually came from France in the 1830s. But think about you are what you eat. And think about that in terms of Holy Communion. Because Holy Communion is the food of God. And when we eat the food of God, we do that so we may become more like Jesus. And that is astonishing. Now, if you think, well, I'm not worthy, and there are some denominations that really hit you hard over the head about you're not worthy, you're not worthy, you're not worthy. I don't understand that. But Pope Francis recently preached this: Holy Communion is not the reward of saints, but the bread of sinners. Can I get an amen on that one? I know we're Methodist, but whatever. We're sinners, and this is the bread of life that Jesus is giving to us. God is not looking for us to be perfect. Not looking for us to be perfect. God only wants us to be present because God has a meal prepared for us. And if I could just let the secular lead us deeper into the sacred. You've heard me say these words this morning. Come, let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me always be with you. I hear Jesus saying those words in my head. But Jesus did not write those words. The singer John Denver wrote those words in 1974. And he wrote those words to his wife, Annie. He and his wife, Annie, were having a difficult time, and he wanted to get back and reconnect with her. And so he wrote the words of Annie's song. And I'm going to read you some of those words, but please think of Jesus when you hear these words. Come, let me love you. I am the bread of life. Let me give my life to you. Let me always be with you. I am the bread of life. Let me die in your arms. Come, let me love you. I am the bread of life. Come, love me again. Sir Royal Oak, beloved, worshiping, praying, and this morning, imagining community. There is such awesome power in this. The Most High God, the God who created more things than we could ever imagine, wants to be in connection to us, wants to offer us his presence so that we may be fed on that love and that grace. And so, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, let us pray. Dear Jesus, the bread of life, fill up our senses like a night in a forest, like a mountain in springtime, like a walk in the rain. Dear Jesus, bread of eternal life, fill up our senses with your holy communion, your bread of eternal life. And dear Jesus, bread of eternal life, come love us again and again and love us again. And so, in Jesus' name, come let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me always be with you. Amen.